Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love music, and every time I hear something hot, it makes me want to move. It makes me want to have fun, but it's something about this joint right here. This joint right here, it makes me want to...
That means, yep, you guessed it, it's a drip the mic day. The author Hezian got his love going up on a Tuesday like it's a Friday. Two literary prodigies, these scholars be so talented, they can write a novel about water and still entertain a nice tray. No filters tonight, they might say bright day inducing diatribes that could make a life change. If you ain't gang and don't hang with the Author's Lounge on Tuesday, you might want to rearrange how you prioritize things. This is family, man. The Author's Lounge maintains by overstanding what's understood, so the unnecessary doesn't have to be explained. The pilot and co-pilot flying this plane entertains by unleashing verbal positive cargo as if it's carried by a train nonstop through your earlobes all the way in until it reaches the creative portion of your brain. Drip the mic is going to the top, high like we just copped a whole pound of the best strain, conducting top interviews and use our platform to help those who choose to network and idea exchange. This This is 2 hours of insane vibes. The Archer's Lounge goes live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Central and 7 p.m. Eastern. Guess what? We can be heard worldwide. You know, I sit back like watching as a quarterback, like he come with the content and the God is love catches the ball like running it up the side. Drip the Mic presents the Author's Lounge. Stick around so we can drop that sound that up until inception, you and others have been denied. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear those hands collide and please help myself and the Drip the Mic Network welcome the Author's Lounge with your host, the author Hezzy, and co-host, God is Love in the building. Let's get it.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Author's Lounge. I am your host, Author Hezzy. You are now tuned in to the Author's Lounge. The call-in number is 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak, and it's presented by Drip the Mic. And tonight we have a great show for you all. But first, let me introduce my lovely co-host, Ms. Goddess Love.
Welcome, everyone. It's your girl, Goddess Love. How everyone doing today? Today is our Monday, so I hope you guys had a great weekend. Usually I say I ain't did shit over the weekend, but this time I finally did something. I hung out with the flu crew this weekend. We was chilling.
Oh Lord, that was work. So what kind of stuff did y'all destroy over the weekend?
We didn't destroy anything. We just, you know, went out and had dinner, a couple of cocktails, you know, we had a little birthday party for one of the food crew's son. We just was chilling this weekend. What you do this weekend?
Nothing at all.
Nothing? So your show was really great last week.
Thank you.
Congratulations on the world premiere.
Thank you. It was a real good show. We got a lot more in store tomorrow.
That's right. Tune in tomorrow, guys, for the Adam and Eve show tomorrow right here on Drip the Mic at 7 p.m. Don't forget the Adam and Eve show tomorrow at 7 p.m. tomorrow. So what's up, bro? What we doing today?
Now we're about to do this show, get these authors on here, let's do it on up.
All right. Well, first we have on the line, now, I don't want to get her name mixed up now. Now, I know it's Landa Stovall or Philanda Stovall. We gonna get it right because I know
she's going to get us right,
I'm sure. When she get on the line, she going to get us right. Let's welcome Ms. Landa Stovall to the Author's Lounge. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Hey, y'all. Hey.
What's up, Miss Lady? How are you
all right,
tonight?
I don't want to screw your name up. Get us right on the name.
Oh, no, you said it right. Philanders, you said it right.
Oh, I said it right. All right.
You said it right, yeah. And y'all can say Philly for short.
I like that. I like Philly.
Yeah, you can say
like
Philly
that.
For short.
That's cute. All right, Miss Philly, tell our listeners who you are, where you're from. Give us a little rundown about you.
Oh, me, I call myself, I'm a woman of many hats. I call myself the multi-talented leader. I've been here in Houston for 7 years. This pretty much is home to me now, but I'm originally from Mississippi, born and raised there, and Yeah.
Mississippi.
I mean, if I go into, like, everything I do, I mean, it's like a long list. But that's why I say multi-talented leader, so.
Well, tell us. No, we want the details. Exactly what are you doing?
Okay, I'll try to shorten it. But I'm a published professional model, singer, R&B singer, songwriter, actress, of course, authoress. Business owner, entrepreneur, full-time mom, and I'm also an investor. I'm looking to do some other stuff too. Some other stuff I'm trying to hold off on, so yeah.
Oh, you just do it all then, huh? Girl.
That's why I said multi-talented leader. I just tried to wrap it up.
I'm not gonna ask no outstanding questions because my co-host told me to behave tonight.
Oh no, go ahead. I'm ready. Listen, I'm ready. Whatever you want to ask, go right ahead.
I'm gonna hold off on that. We'll come back to that. But
okay.
What inspired you to do all of this?
Both my parents were business owners. That's pretty much what I've known them to do, like, all my life. My dad, he started off in, like, welding, and then he went to respiratory, and then he went to, which he not only was in respiratory, but he had his own business in respiratory, and then he went to bounty hunting and being a bail bondsman. And so after that, well, also doing that, my mom, she had her own childcare center for like 16 years. So.
Hold on. I'll go back. Your daddy was a bounty hunter and a bail bondsman.
And a bail bondsman, yes.
So it must have been tough for you to keep some boyfriends, right? Because Lord have mercy.
You know what? He actually got one of my boyfriends out of jail. One of my exes sure did.
Oh, well, that's good daddy then. Well.
Yeah. We was young. It was like on the young end, early, you know, first 20s or whatever. So, yeah, he was a little bit older than me, but just about, what, 1 or 2 years. So, yeah, you know.
So out of all the hats that you wear, which is your favorite hat to put on?
Mommy, being a mom. Mm.
It's being rewarding,
a mom.
Right?
Being a mom, because, yeah, I say being a mom because I actually, for 7 years, we had a 7-year cancer journey. My son, he was diagnosed with cancer when he was 4. And so
wow.
I literally had to, as they say, put my life down, you know, in order to be there for my son through his cancer journey. And not only did I have to be there for him, I had to be there emotionally, you know, for my daughter, too, because a lot of focus goes
right.
towards that child that's diagnosed, you know. So
right.
being a mom, like I said, it was a 7-year cancer journey, so I wouldn't change that for nothing in the world. If I could do it all over again, I could, just to have my son here. So.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. So you have some new work coming out. You said you're a writer, you're an authoress. You have some new books coming out, or have you had one out already?
Yes, I do have a book out. It's called Even Through the Storm, A Mom's Faith Amid Adversity. And I always get asked will there be a part two to this book, but like I tell everybody, I have to I write off of inspiration. And so especially when it's a story about my life, and in order for me to write it, I have to live it. It's go through some experiences. So, so I just have to wait till the inspiration hits if there'll be a part two of it.
So, Miss,
have something else in mind.
So, Miss Philandis, did I pronounce it right?
You did.
I knew I was going to get your name right.
You did.
See, I told you I was coming back to you. I just had to do a little bit of brainstorming here.
Okay, go ahead. Go
ahead.
You like your energy.
Thank you.
I see y'all.
Girl.
Bro, we all it because you got quiet about some thank you. What? You usually have a little bit more to say than that.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to be a gentleman tonight, you know. So
okay, man.
since you say that you write about your life and that you are waiting mm-hmm. on some inspiration to write about, tell us something, some inspiring stuff that made you write some of your books, and give us some name of your books. So I don't want to know all the good. I want to know some bad too that inspired you to write these.
Oh well, the memoir would inspire me to write that. I knew I was gonna have to write because it had already come to me like in 2012 when my son was first diagnosed. But it's like, how can you write something that you haven't lived yet? And so when it came back to me, we were actually in the hospital. He was having his bone marrow transplant, and we were sitting inside the hospital room. And we got out, and then I literally wrote my book within 2 weeks after that.
Wow.
Yeah. Man, discipline and focus. I didn't know TV, no phone, no nothing. If it wasn't important, I was not answering. I was not getting online. You was not hearing from me. And I literally sat there on my laptop and focused and wrote my book.
Okay. So how many books have you written?
Just one so far. Actually, I could say more than one, but I haven't put it out yet. I've actually been trying to consider a publisher. Some publishers I had in mind, but we are no longer in communication. So I have another publisher in mind. And so, once God gives it to me again to, you know.
You know you can publish your own book.
I do. Yes, I do. I'm supporting and trying to, you know, push one another, because you do have to build strong relationships and connections with people, because, I mean, you know, it's really a together thing, you know, everybody pushing each other to move forward. But, I mean, everybody in the world don't work like that. Everything in the world don't work like that, but, I mean, that's how it works. Kind of.
Right.
So,
right.
Say that again.
That's understandable.
Right.
So, what is your next book about? I'm trying to dig. You ain't trying to come. I want you to open up. It's the author's land. You got to open up.
I'm not shy at all. Well, depending on the pens. It depends. Okay, it depends. Let's see. It was kind of, I want to say it was more of a, because it's really in my email, and it's about being resilient, pretty much. And then I was thinking about doing, like, a journal, some type of journal, whatever, where you can write out, because I love writing. I've been writing since I was, like, 2 years old. Well, five. I started writing poems when I was five. So, it's going to be about confidence and just, I guess, personal development type of, something like personal development type of positive.
What made you want to become a model and an actor?
My family pretty much, like, my background is pretty much like music and all that. And at first it started out with the music, and then I want to say around junior and senior year in high school, I was like, hey, you know, like modeling and all that is a part of it too, you know, when it comes to album covers and wallpapers and all that. So I was get my feet into this modeling thing too. And for a while, like, I wasn't doing like any music. I was just doing the modeling and the acting. And I'm literally just now kind of, you know, getting my feet back, you know, into the music. And it's some major stuff happening with that. And I can't talk too much on that at all. So.
Y'all gotta have to wait and see. Yeah. And we be out of time to see.
I could dig it, girl. I could dig it.
Yeah, for real. So, like, I like to pick a boo up on people, you know.
Right. You know, sometimes you can't say too much because then people be stealing your stuff and your ideas. And next thing you know, they out
girl.
With your stuff. You're like, oh, well.
Girl. Oh, my God. Y'all.
So what do you see yourself in 3 years from now?
3 years? I see myself chilling at one of my properties in another country. With a whole husband out here.
Hold on, I missed that. Say it again.
I said I see myself chilling on one of my properties in another country with a whole husband out here.
Oh, so you single, single.
Yes, I am living. I'm
okay. I said, listen.
Oh, okay, y'all.
Y'all hear that, right?
Listen, she a boss, okay? Listen, she a boss. When you come to her, you gotta come with boss moves, okay?
We all came in this world alone.
And God ain't meant for us to be alone, though.
When you sign the paper, you got to put it single.
Do what?
Exactly.
You got to do what? Who sold you that? But we're gonna behave tonight.
I'm loving this. This is funny. Okay, listen.
I'm glad
Miss
you're
smiling.
That's all.
I'm smiling. I'm okay. Miss Goddess Love.
Y'all, y'all single?
I'm single as a dollar bill, girl.
Really? Okay.
And I make sure I say that every chance I get.
Oh, Lord.
I'm single.
This God is love. Do you have any questions to ask?
Oh, wait a minute now. You are not going to ask her question.
Uh-uh. We asked
you. You can't be rude to our guests, okay?
Hey, I gave her the red carpet.
I'm gonna leave you alone, bro. I'm gonna leave you alone. Philly, when you was growing up, did you ever imagine that you would be an author, a model, a singer, like wearing all of these hats? What was your inspiration when you were little, or what did you desire to be? Are you doing that or no?
Oh, yeah. Everything I'm doing and working towards, I've always like imagined myself doing just that, everything. I'm still, you know, getting into the full capacity of the way I really want to do it. I mean, everything takes time, especially when you got, like, 7 vision boards, five to 7
right.
vision boards. But it's happening. It's definitely happening. And, I knew, like, I used to have dreams and me, as far as like when I come to like the music, and always seeing myself in like front of millions of people holding the mic and all that, like, yeah, I definitely already seen it.
So have you recorded anything?
I have in the past. I haven't, like I said, in years, which actually next month I got some stuff coming up. But I can't speak on it. I'm sorry.
Do you sing?
That's okay. That's how you get them to listen.
So you sing? You sing?
I do sing. You do? I've been writing more for right now, though. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? You gonna sing me a song tonight?
Uh-oh. Nice. Look at you.
Just a little bit. I just want to be nosy.
See, we gonna whoop you.
I just want a little bit. Just a little bit.
We gonna whoop you for all this nosiness. Like some people I know trying to be all up in.
No. We just letting the world know who you are.
Right. Well, I appreciate that.
She's like,
maybe I might have to come back. Maybe I'm gonna have to come back and do something, because it's gonna be major. It's really major what's about to happen. So.
Oh, well, you definitely gotta make sure you come back.
I'm being obedient right now. As they say, I'm being obedient right now.
Okay, that ain't got nothing to do with that voice.
Yeah, I have to be obedient right now.
Oh, with that voice.
Yeah, I have to be obedient right now, so.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
I got you, though.
So what platforms can we find you on?
I'm all over the place. I'm on
Instagram. All over the place. All over the place.
All over the place.
You can't find no husband all over the place.
No, see, I ain't all over the place like that now. Hold on. No, I've been still. I have been still. Okay. I think my husband know I've been still. Like, he just, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, if he don't, he know now.
Exactly. Do you hear me, sir? Hello?
Let him know, since you worldwide. He listens so weird. Let him know. Hello, if Philly's husband out there, she is waiting for you.
I've been sitting down for you. I've literally been single, y'all, for like years, and I chose to be single for like 7 years.
Ooh,
and it's been over 7 years. It's been over 7 years.
I did it for 4. It ain't hard.
It's not hard. Like, it's really not hard. It just think I've had to go through a cancer journey with my one of my children. Like, can't focus on that. Cannot focus. And then, like, even now, going on 4 years later, after he, well, yeah, going on 4 years that he didn't pass, so. Yeah, I mean, you talk to people, whatever, but I'm this type of person. I'm a real focused person, and I hate distractions. I really hate it. It bothers me. I get so irritated.
You know,
like,
what?
The same mindset, like, the people that's not on the same mindset and all that, like, I'm just meeting you, and here it is, 2 or 3 days in, you want to talk about laying down? Like, no, like, no, like, I'm just not going to do it.
You meet the fast ones.
That's Houston, yeah.
They don't do no courting or nothing. Do they want to talk on the phone or text? Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, they want to get to know you. And then, so, I had literally, it was
you
one individual, like.
We babe.
I'm gorgeous, but okay. If you respect me enough, you know what I'm saying? But if you say you respect me, you don't have to wait.
They're not even courting you or talking to you or know what you're even about. They're just like, you know what? She looks good. Let's lay down.
Exactly. And
I done had someone that looked
cute,
good. They was crazy as a bat.
Exactly. Just because I'm beautiful don't mean I'm going to drop them drugs. So,
Hey, you wide open here.
I'm just saying, like, no.
That's understandable.
Yeah, you have to take your time and get to know a person, get to know what you're getting yourself into, like the likes and dislikes and all that. So, I mean, a year is nothing. I mean, if y'all talk before if y'all make it official before the year is up, that's fine, but at least put something out there and try to stick to it. But if, you know, if you're feeling y'all both are mutual and everything, you're feeling, you know, each other in a major way and decide to become exclusive before that year or however many months y'all want to, you know, date and get to know one another. Because I'm like, even when you in a relationship, you still have to date. You still have to continue to get to know that person. Like, it's a never-ending thing. So, I don't know. I've always been wise beyond my years, so I just, you know.
I absolutely agree with you, though, because, you know, sometimes when you get into a relationship and you've been in a relationship for a long term, things can sometimes get stale, and you got to go back to basics. You got to go back to the dating. You got to go back to the courting and the things you were doing, you know, before we got bogged down with a routine and, you know, got caught up in life. You know, sometimes you got to stay in that mold to keep the relationship, you know, kind of fresh.
Exactly, especially if both of y'all are busy and, you know, on the go. Is you have to keep that romance and, you know, love there. So if one is grinding and the other one is pretty much a lynch, like, it really ain't going to work. Or one, you know, wants you to do all the grinding and they chilling back type of stuff.
Right. You got to get somebody that's, you know, on your level and y'all both have the same kind of goals.
Right.
Because if
don't get me wrong,
if one is really career-driven and always focused, you know, sometimes the relationship can get lost. But if you got a partner who's also got their own goals and they're focused on doing what they want to do so y'all can come together, then that relationship works out perfectly.
Exactly.
But sometimes if you have one person who is not as career-driven and they just, like, stagnant and they're okay with where they at, to a person like myself, that wouldn't work for me.
Right.
Because I always like to see growth, to see you can always grow, you can always do better, you can always, you know, being stagnant and not learning and not trying to, you know, elevate is a problem for me. That wouldn't work for me.
Right.
But,
yeah.
So,
see, I always come in with my eyes. I don't know if I come with my eyes open or closed, however you want to call it. You know, I give them all the benefit of a doubt.
Yeah.
But
right.
What we forget, them first 6 months is the lusting stage.
Yeah.
After them 6 months, you left with that person. You left without emotions. Everything that they'd have been through in life now is up to the sex and wall off. And now you're stuck with that person. So it's like, if y'all going to stick it out or you not, are you going to learn to love each other? Because it's not love at first. It's lust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say the six-month rule. The six-month rule is when the real person shows up, the representative leaves.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. That is so
you know,
true.
And now you're face to face with this person, and you got to think, you're like, man, can I actually spend some years with this? I ain't gonna say forever, because you know, right now in this world, it ain't no forever. But you want to know if can I spend the next, you know, 4 or 5 years down the road? Is this the person that I want to be with?
And y'all know it's crazy because even after those 6 months, some people, they don't mind playing whatever for however long they have to or can. Like, some people would go, I'm talking about 15 years later still trying to do the same stuff. It's crazy.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, being that this is your first book, how has the writing industry been treating you? Have you been having a lot of difficulties in getting your book out or promotion?
Oh, no. Actually, as soon as I released my book, I had interviews. And I was in the hospital, too, and I literally had interviews back-to-back.
Wow.
In person, just like we are now, blogs, all type of stuff, y'all. Pop-up shops, pop-up events, conferences. I actually been a speaker at different conferences. Yeah, I'm always doing something. It's never been a problem for me.
So
I'm always on the, like, I'm always saying it again.
Tell us about the book. What is the book about?
Even Through the Storm, A Mom's Faith Amid Adversity is about our 7-year cancer journey with me and my son. Well, me and my son and my daughter. And in that book, we just, I mean, it's pretty much self-explanatory. It's like, even through the storm, you are can still be blessed. Just like life. Life is full of ups and downs, ins and outs, all of that. And so you get to, you know, you get to read that, how, you know, at different times, my son, he hit some major, he hit some major spots where we thought, you know, he probably wasn't going to make it, even before his passing. And it's just like God put him through every time and just showed, like, who was God. And I just wanted to highlight that, like, you know, no matter what you go through and no matter what it may look like, it's like whose report will you believe? And you have to believe God's report all the time, like no matter what you're seeing around you, no matter what people are saying and all of that, like you have to continue to trust God. Like you have to, you have to. So that's pretty much what the book about. And like I said, we shared our glories and some downs in there. So being a single mom, you get to also hear and see, like, how I want to, you know, push my baby daddy out the window, hospital window. Yeah, you get to read all that.
Yeah,
y'all always
you know, do that.
You know, hey, yeah, some people deserve it.
but it's okay, you know. Miss Philandis.
It's all right. Yeah,
it's okay.
You know. You know, I didn't.
You'd be single today if you are.
I'm gonna put that out. I'm gonna put this out there again. I did not down anyone in the book, including people that wasn't around or walked out or, you know, whatever. Because I always say, okay, everybody's not on the same level spiritually, mentally, emotionally, psychologically. Everybody can't handle what you can handle. Everybody handles situations differently. And I've never fault anybody for even the people, you know, around me, how they felt about, you know, different things or whatever. Yes, I listen. Yes, I may have at one point felt a certain way. I mean, I'm human. I have a right. I have 2 children by 1 guy. Okay. So I do have a right to feel the way I felt at moments or whatever and feel about certain things up until this point, but it still haven't brought me to the point where I've spoken down or I spoke down on anybody within the book. Even after the fact, you know, it's been situations where, per se, people were suicidal after my son passed. And you know, instead of being like they say to other people that wouldn't answer the phone, I chose to answer the phone and chose to talk a person who chose and had planned to make my life and my children's life and those around me a living hell. You know, I chose to uplift, you know, and tell the person, no, life goes on. It's going to be okay. You know, your child loved you in spite of. You know, my daughter loves you in spite of, but still, even after that, it was all a bunch of, like I said, people that don't mind going to the extremity of playing these little whatever games and still on the, as they say, on the outside, have planned and plotted and whatever to make your life a living hell. And that's really what they're doing. So it really runs deep. It really runs deep. But I have chosen to, you know, continue to take the high road, but just keep the negative away from me and my daughter, you know.
Right.
Because I'm going to protect her just like I protect my son. I'm going to protect them to the end of the world, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's good that you had an opportunity to clear the air, because sometimes when you write a book about your personal life, you know, it does include other people, unfortunately. So it just it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I think you have did a wonderful job, Supermom.
Thank you so much. And see, I could have chose to run them through the grass, just run through the ground, but I didn't.
Well, in my book, I'm going to run you through the ground.
Bury them under the ground, honey.
Yes, sir. When I get to writing you, it's a wrap.
It should have been a wrap, huh?
I'm going to cut you down. I ain't going to say no name. But I'm going to describe you to a T, though.
No free promotion.
But no, it's just using your expressions. You know, that's how you feel at the time. That's just, you know, we human. We got feelings.
Right.
And,
exactly.
And emotions, too.
Exactly.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Miss Philly, tell everybody where we can find you, your social media, and where your book is available. And if you have a website, shoot all that information out for our listeners.
Okay. Well, I do have an author's page, Even Through the Storm, Philander Stovall. Of course, my IG is 1-2-desire, the word desire. Instagram, I changed it. It's still, it's 02D12Desire. My nonprofit, Ziggy Champion Kids, and we do have a website, ziggychampionkids.org, and we're also on Facebook. We're on Instagram too, but I haven't been on the Instagram.
Could you also leave your nonprofit organization? Could you leave that with my co-host, a little information and stuff, so we can post it on the
absolutely.
Page?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll support you.
Thank you so much in advance.
You're so welcome. And we like to thank you for coming on the Author's Lounge and giving us a little info and some tea on you. I hope our listeners enjoyed you, and make sure you guys check her out on her social media platforms. And thank you again for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you for having me.
Anybody
else got questions?
I'm gonna keep my eye for that. No, let me.
Come on, what you got?
I told you, don't be good tonight.
Come on. No.
I think you answered this question.
Okay.
What question? Which one?
Nope.
Oh, was I single? Was it?
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's it right there.
What you up to?
That's the number one.
You trying to play match, ain't it?
We're going to be good tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you for coming on the show, but you got to come back on because you got to sing us that song.
I'm going to keep in. My date for what's happening is really close, so I'm definitely going to keep y'all in the loop, okay? It's really major, and like I said, y'all going to love it, and I'm definitely going to come back, I promise.
It never will.
Okay.
I'm going to hold you to it now.
Oh, yeah. This major, I promise.
I'll be watching the page.
Actually, it's two things.
Cool.
Yeah, it's two things. So,
Miss Philander, I don't forget that name.
You sound like you flirting.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it sounds like.
Miss Flynn's, I ain't gonna forget that name. Hey, my exes ain't forgotten either. Where my ex?
Oh,
you gonna let it go?
We ain't worried about them right now. The big dog talk.
He need to let it go.
You hear me?
Let it go, bro.
You hear me, Miss Philander? We ain't talking about them right now. You talking to the big dog right now.
I hear you.
We ain't worried about them right now.
I hear you.
Oh, my God. You a mess.
I got you smiling. Look at the blessing over there. Oh, my God. I'm gonna give you a pass. Go ahead.
I'm always smiling and laughing.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm happy. I'm a really happy person for the most part. It takes a lot to get me just, you know, ready to do damage.
Right.
I feel the diary of a mad black woman, huh? But that's good. I'm glad you're smiling and you're happy. That's a good thing because you're beautiful when you smile and you're happy.
Thank you for the compliment.
You know.
Alpha Hezzy on the mic.
Thank
you. This is sounding more and more like the damn Love Connection show. I'm going to just be quiet.
I ain't going to hold
it.
You're not
getting beat up. I'm saying it may be another listener on something on the line. They'd be like, no, you can't have her, bro. I don't know. You know, people be out here going to wars. Seriously. Oh, talking about Philandis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that's why he's scared. Let me find out he's scared.
I'm gonna let her live tonight.
Award,
she
gotta, boy.
She coming again?
Yeah, I'm coming.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna make that
all
happen.
All right, now, y'all. We're gonna end our interview right now with Miss Philly from Texas. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Good night.
And you have a great night.
Bro.
Y'all trying to get me and cut up. I hope she ain't listening. Girl, she ain't listening. Oh.
Yeah.
I smoothed though, didn't it?
You know what? Listen,
Miss
Philly, you still here?
Really?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, see, she here. There she go.
How you doing, Miss Philly? My name is Aziz. I am the CEO of the network. It's nice to meet you. And you have a very captivating story. Congratulations on your book. And I wish
you
many blessings in your journey
Thank
as
you.
Well. And,
Thank you.
Yeah, me. So... Yeah, so you know you got a light and you recognize that in the show. So y'all just
Thank
keep
you
following
so
you already know that. So but I gotta get
Thank
on this brother
you.
Right here. we usually don't come in, me and my wife, we usually don't come in and interrupt their shows or whatever unless it's emergency situations like the bullshit I just saw or just heard.
Oh,
that
God.
Bullshit right there. That's for real, bruh. That's what you're going to leave Drip to Mike looking like, bruh. For real? That's what we doing?
That's what we do it.
We're gonna do that tonight.
Bruh, if you don't let some things hang, bruh, you're letting us hang right now. We're gonna have a conversation after this show, bruh. You cannot leave our network looking like that. So we're gonna do this goodbye again, and I'm gonna ask better a little better of you this time, my brother. So y'all go ahead off. I'm not here. I'm here, but just pretend I'm not here. But you're gonna do better. You're gonna do better on that, my brother. You're gonna do way better on that.
Ms. Philander.
And I'm not saying. Go ahead, yes. Bro. I'm not saying that. Now you gotta say goodbye.
Hey, all right, and got a rough love, ain't all right. Now, it's usually me and you that's going at it, but
I thank you for
going, all right.
Thank you for coming to the show.
You right. You right,
thank you for having me.
Hey,
John,
you
it wasn't any guests that had any questions?
No, they want me to ask all the questions. See, they want me to ask all the questions, but I'm going to let you live tonight, okay?
No, you know what? I do. I have a comment. I kind of like have a comment like about your journey and your situation or whatever. And I heard you when you were saying like you weren't trying to like put nobody on Front Street or like put nobody down and no shit like that. Basically, it sounds like you were just you had to document and archive. Such a strong and meaningful journey, and however
right.
the journey ended or whatever happened in the journey, it happened. You know, whether or not it, you know, whether
right.
or not your feelings hurt because of it being publicized or,
mm-hmm.
you know, and like some okay, so in order to basically explain what I'm trying to say, it's kind of like what Tina Turner was saying. A lot of people took from What's Love Got to Do with It. That wasn't her main message. She was talking about how it was her battle, her struggle, her good and her bad. And
uh-huh.
it was just that the scenes with Ike, which was just one chapter of her life, those stood out and were so captivating to the audience for a negative or positive effect or whatever. But it wasn't necessarily meant to shame Ike or whatever pain it may have caused him. It was basically meant to just shine a light on her, and he just happened to be one of those chapters. So whatever you feel,
exactly.
you feel, but that's not what the target of the book is. It's just
yeah.
you got to document such a momentous arc, you know, momentous occasion in your life, whether it had a good or bad negative effect. Is that what I was getting?
Exactly. You're exactly right. Because at certain moments, like I did have to, you know, talk about my children's dad, but I didn't talk about him enough to, it was kind of like, okay, describing, you know, a description of the situation, how, like, when he walked out the hospital room on my son or whatever and how it made me feel and how different moments when he was in ICU and I called and he wouldn't answer. He never showed up and my son wanted him to show up, like, just different things like that. I mean, which was the truth, so I mean,
yeah,
and he's
so
still
not
going to
do
that,
no favors.
So, I mean, it is what it is, you know.
Because at the same time, you're not going to do no favors either. Like, because, I mean, that's the beautiful thing
yeah,
about
I'm,
us.
I'm definitely not
going to
do no favors
writers.
After I done found out him and his people had been hacking my accounts and put different tracking devices and trying to get different people to listen in and they listening in behind
shit.
The scenes.
Oh,
all this type
deep.
Of stuff. Like, no.
That's deep. I didn't mean to come in and bring drama out, y'all. I'm just really intruding on my host. I'm apologizing to my host. You know, I get to the bottom of shit.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
drama.
Me, I, you know what I'm saying? I want to know the shit. You know what I'm saying? You could tell me the cliche shit, the good shit, but, you know, I'm going to dig in and find out where the dirt at, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
In doing that, I took over a little bit more than I meant to take over. I came in here to get on Hezzy ass about that shit he thought he was getting ready to pull. But
I ended up pulling. He ran his ass off, too.
Oh, he better not have ran his ass off. He better be. Oh, where is he at? Is he back on the line yet?
Nope.
Oh, we Yeah. Like, I ain't never learned how to work a three-way on a cell phone, because I would definitely three-way his ass. But,
nah, you ran him off, T.O.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm getting on his ass. You know he got a car coming from the midnight.
He's taking a little break. Which is something that we are going to do. We are going to take a quick little music break, and then we're going to come back with our next guest, and that is author Dana Barnett. So you are tuned in to the Author's Lounge, presented to you by Drip the Mic every Tuesday from 7 to 9. You can dial in at 646-378-0355 and press 1 to speak with us and or our guests, and we'll be right back right after this little short break.
Miss me with that bullshit. You ain't really wild, you a tourist. I be blacking out with the purist. I made 100,000, I freaked it. I made 500,000.
And it's like that little bitch, MVP, I don't get no sleep, no, I don't like that little bitch. Bust that open, I want that ocean, yeah, that bite back, little bitch. Do it, bite back, little bitch, need two life jacks, little bitch. I ain't gon' hold ya, I ain't gon' pressure, never control ya. I ain't gon' front ya, keep it 100, I don't know ya. Boss like Top Dog, boss my life up, crossing over. Stutter steppin', got a Hall of Fame and all my poster. I been ready, my whip been ready, my bitch been ready, my click been ready, my shit's been ready, my checks been ready, my shots on full, that's Armageddon. I got pull, I hope y'all ready, my tank on full, you know unleaded. I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it. My name gon' hold up, my team gon' hold up, my name gon' hold up, my team gon' hold up, my shots gon' fire, my team gon' roll up, Menage twice, my queen gon' roll up. I hope y'all ready, you know I'm ready, I rain all day, you know confetti. I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it, I gotta go get it.
Miss me with that bullshit.
You're not a gang member, you're a tourist. I be blacking out, I be blacking out. Bought a 83 Cutlass
for the weekend.
I got 100,000 and I freaked it. I made my 100,000 and I freaked it. I put a Rolls Royce on my wrist, oh yeah. Fuck his baby mama trying to sneak this. I took her to my penthouse and I freaked it. I haven't made my mind up, should I keep it? I got big dog status, it ain't no secret. Lady daddy da, slime on me now. Bad bitch, I'm sorry, put me in the car. Lady daddy da, motherfucker law. Teeny teeny bang, murder everything. Bitch, I'm on the roll and I put that on the game.
Yeah, miss me with that bullshit. You ain't really wild, you a tourist. I made 100,000, I freaked it. I made 500,000, I freaked it. I bought an 87 for the weekend. This ain't what you want, this ain't what you want. This ain't what you want, this ain't what you want.
It's your girl, Goddess Love, and we are now ready for our next guest who's been patiently waiting. My host will be joining us soon. So in the meantime, in between time, let's introduce our next guest, Ms. Dana Barnett. Hello, and welcome to the Artist Lounge.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I am doing good. Just over here enjoying the show.
I'm glad you're enjoying the show. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Well, not a little bit, but a lot about yourself.
You said a lot because I have a lot to share, so I'll see if I
okay.
can cover everything. All right, so my name is actually Dana Watson. Barnett is my maiden name. So I put Dana Barnett Watson to make it easier for people to find me. So it's Dana Watson. My clients call me Coach Dana W. I am a certified health coach. I've been coaching for about 5 years now. I started out coaching individuals who are ready to escape toxic relationships. I am a survivor of domestic violence. So I started to work with individuals who were in those type of relationships themselves. Some of them were not physical abuse, but it could have been emotional abuse, financial abuse, and they would come to me and say, Dana, I'm ready to leave. So we would create a plan for them, a transitional plan. I have a background in counseling, so my experience plus my education, I was able to do this type of work. I want to say in 2018, my mom was diagnosed with liver cancer, so that's when I began to incorporate the mind, the body, and spirit, holistic coaching. I went to health coaching school, and that's when I became a health coach, and I began to work with individuals who were emotionally eating, those who wanted to lose weight, those who just wanted to be healthy all the way around. So I've been doing that for a couple of years now. But I do consider myself to be a ninepreneur. I still work a 9-to-5. I am an education specialist for a national nonprofit working with families who are relocating out of low-income housing. Their neighborhoods are actually being demolished, and they are moving into affordable housing through Section 8 or to another low-income housing project. So I do a lot.
Oh, wow.
Writing books to being a coach, a speaker, and I'm also an online course creator. I have a new course out on how to heal from emotional trauma, breakup, and betrayal, and I am recently divorced, so... I have a lot of experience, but with that, learning and training, and, you know, I just found ways to heal, and I just want to share it with the world. Was that enough?
Wow.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So I have two books out right now. My first book is called Because He Loves Me. I wrote that book back in 2015. It's a fictional book, but it is inspired by true events, my story of domestic violence. Just telling the story of how I was a single mom. I was really young, getting engaged, and I thought I married, you know, well, I would say I was engaged to what I thought was the man of my dreams. And it wasn't until we moved in with one another when I seeing the abusive side of him. And it started out really minor. I want to say he threw my clothes in the bathtub because he was mad at me over something I said. And it escalated from there to him pushing me to a wall and to him choking me. And the final straw was when he threw his cell phone so hard at chest that it broke into pieces. And so my daughter was only 2 years old at the time. And I remember even after I got out of that relationship, she would tell everybody that she met, my daddy hit my mommy. And
break
my heart was completely that this image was stuck in her mind, that
child
witnessed this this event. And I had to do something different because I was so used to going in and out of this relationship that I made the promise that I would never return to him. So I had to call the wedding off 2 weeks prior to the date. this gentleman, he did pass away from a blood clot. He got shot in the leg, and the bullet caused a blood clot in his leg after surgery. So I wrote a book off of that. I use fictional stories. I heard you all speaking with the other author about, you know, calling names out, not wanting to offend, or sometimes you don't care if you offend people. I because I did not want to offend anyone, especially because he had already passed away when I completed my book.
That's very clear. I mean, on top of everything else, that actually a level of class. It takes real class and restraint to do some things like that in a lot of cases, especially when the image is that vivid in your daughter's memory. And, you know, to just for her to take both of you back there and then bring another person into that imagery just on random, I mean, I can't imagine how that would affect me. And so for you to still deal with that and still be able to restrain and show class in not, you know, calling names and, you know, trying to at least give him some type of honor and dignity in his death, that takes a whole another amount of class right there. So I do want to commend you on that.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's crazy because my daughter is now 18 years old. And, you know, I'm not sure if she ever read the book before. The book is on my book shelf, on the bookcase, and it's there for her to read, but I don't know if she ever took the time to read it. She's definitely reading my second book, which is called Man of Deception, which was just launched this month. It is currently on Amazon. So if you would like to purchase it, made bestseller last week. And so I would love to be able to just stay in that top 100.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, we got to pump that up.
Yeah, so pump it up out there in the author world, those who love reading. This book is also a fictional book. I love writing stories about relationships. But as a Christian woman, you know, there's not a lot of Christian romance books out there. So I decided to be sort of like a Christian romance writer, to use my ability to write, to tell stories, not just about healthy relationships, but about the love of God in my stories. And so it's always going to be a story that leads back to God at the end of the book. And so my books always have a twist to it. Like my first book is called Because He Loves Me. And so you're thinking, oh, this book is called Because He Loves Me, because that's the reason why women stay in domestic violence relationships or unhealthy relationships, because love is so strong. Yeah, that's true. But I decided to name my book Because He Loves Me, because it was nothing but the love of God that got me out of that relationship. Mm-hmm. So I'm thankful to God that He loved me so much that even after I went through all that, I could have been dead and gone, but God loved me enough that He pulled me out of that situation, and I'm still here today to tell my story. And I wrote that book back in 2014, and I'm still going around, still been able to share my story, been an advocate for against domestic violence, and to just, you know, it's October Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and so I just want to just put it out there that if you are a victim of domestic violence, that you too can get out of it. You can be a survivor of it, and you don't have to be a victim. And so my second book has a twist to it. You know, it's called Man of Deception, and so I'm not going to tell, you know, everything about the story, but who is this man of deception? You know, I have these fictional characters. It's Melanie. She's a woman who's going through divorce, and she's ready to find true love. And she meets this guy online, and it's crazy because I started writing this book years ago. My mom had a vision before she passed away. And this is during the time I was in a separated period with my now ex-husband. And she came to me and she said, Dana, I had this dream that this man you were talking to, he had on this white robe and he was going to get baptized. But when I looked at his feet, he had tennis shoes on. My mom was a pastor. And so she said, y'all heard was the word man of deception. And those words stuck with me for so long that I wrote a book off of it. And I actually started writing the book before my mom passed away. So I definitely attribute this book to her because it was her vision. And so I'm thankful for her for sharing it with me, and I know exactly who the man of deception was in my life that she had the vision of. But, you know, I tell people the book is not about my ex-husband. I had to tell him that, too.
So what did you
– It's not about him.
So we can go into the mind of – in your mind, in your way of thinking. What did that ultimately end up meaning to you that you were able to write about it, man of deception?
The vision that my mom had.
Yeah, the vision, like as you were learning more, you got older and you grew and you thought about the visions and the actual title, Man of Deception. What did that ultimately become to mean to you?
Well, to me, it ultimately ended up being that, you know, sometimes we try to blame people for the things that we go through or the feelings that we feel of being hurt or being broken and try to say, you know what, I went through this relationship with such and such, and he was full of lies. But you have to also understand that we tell ourselves lies. And someone asked about the cover of the book. They said, how did you choose the cover of the book? Because there is no face to the man on this book. There's like a shadowy look of this guy. He's covered up. And the truth is we all have or we all carry the man of deception in us, but we have to choose what we're going to believe. Are we going to believe the lies in our head, the lies that we tell ourselves that we'll never be worth anything, that we would never find true love? That's what the man of deception represents, the lies that we tell ourselves. So we are worthy. Wow. We are so deserving of a good relationship, of a man or a woman to love us to the fullest degree. That's what love is about. And you have to be able to look whatever that lie is in the face. And that sometimes you're looking in the mirror and saying, Devil, you are a lie. I know who I am. Mm-hmm. So that's what the meaning of the man of deception is.
Wow. Yeah, and it's funny that you say that because I've had that experience, so to speak. You know, I mean, I'm not, you know, this is your interview, so I don't want to go off in too much about me, but, you know, I always haven't walked a straight line or whatever. You know, I have a lengthy record, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, over the past, what would you say, baby, maybe 15 years, you know, I've just dedicated to, like, you know, reshaping that narrative and turning that around. And, you know, of course I'm not where I want to be. I'll never be there, but I'm not where I used to be. But part of doing that, I mean, nowhere near it. And like part of doing that was actually looking in that mirror, that proverbial mirror, so to speak, and unmasking that, you know, what I was living on, you know, unmasking and facing what it is that I have all this time in my life, all these jail sentences, and it was a lot of them. All these jail sentences and all these things that I had did to put myself in a specific situation. It took me really just looking and stop being a victim of, you know, not being able to, to conquer something that was not meant for me to be doing, you know. So every time I got caught, it was everybody else's fault. Or every time I did something that didn't work out, it was, you know, everybody else's fault until I, like, consciously took that look and, like, really just said, you know, okay, I need to my life needs to change if I want to have a life going forward, you know.
Right.
Because the insanity of trying to do the same thing over and keep ending up back in this place or back in this situation, it has to stop. You got to give up, you know, give that up, you know. And yeah. But thing about it is the fear, it's a fear that, it was a fear that I had that took me so long to actually do that, and a little bit of an ego, I might add, as well. And once I did that, the very thing that I feared wasn't even there.
Mm.
Mm. It had all just been a figment of something that I had built up because of the demons that had continued to put these things in my mind as I continued through that negative journey of life and of doing things. It was just all a figment that told me, hey, if you let this go, this is what will happen to you. This is how people will look at you. This is what your life will be, which was end up just being a lot of these demons that had just tormented me through this, you know, all these negative decisions that I was making. So I didn't want to talk to it, but when you say that, it's funny that you say that because I know exactly what you're saying when you say that.
Yeah. Thank you. And that was an awesome illustration. Like I said, we all fight our own demons. And so
right.
you have to ask, who does the man of deception represent in your life? Because it's not always about love. Love was my weakness. My weakness was always relationships, always having that desire to be loved. And that's why I allowed myself to be in so many toxic relationships because I was always as long as you said I love you, I was good. I was, you know, like, oh, those words just are so powerful. And that's why self-love is so important. You have to learn how to love yourself because if you don't, you will put up with anything just to hear a man say I love you. Just to hear a man say I love you. So you have to ask yourself, what's my weakness? Mine is relationships, okay? But it could be somebody else. It could be food. It could be friends. It could be their mother, their father, their children. And so the devil can use anything to get to you. Whatever your heart beats for.
I hate that cliche, the horns and the tail and the pitchfork or whatever. Like, because all the things that has represented the devil in my life has been beautiful. You know what I'm saying? If it was, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing that the devil has represented. The devil has not brought nothing to me in an ugly or scary form. The things that the devil brought to me, if it was a female, bad, big booty, you know what I'm saying? You know, everything. You know what I'm saying? Everything that, and it, you know what I'm saying? And so if it was money, it was in abundance. If it was a vehicle, it was a badass ride. You know what I'm saying? Everything the devil has brought to me that has been ill-gotten or ill-gained or either ill-advised from me, it has been beautiful. And so I hate that I always hated the cliche or, you know what, I grew up in the Nation of Islam, but I do know from, like, my Christian friends and things like that, you know, the devil has kind of took form of a red character, flame and brimstone and all this stuff. And that's not the devil I've come to know. Throughout my life, the devil has been. Everything that the devil has brought me that has not been good for me has been beautiful, has been appeasing, pleasing to the eye. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so, it's a trip.
I definitely agree. My mom used to say, everything that feels good is not good for you.
All that shines ain't gold.
That is the truth.
That is the
truth. Things that feel good, it's not saying that everything is wrong, but, sometimes we just want what feels good to the flesh.
And the devil is slick. The devil is slick. I mean, slick. I mean, like everything that, like you said, everything that he presents to you is presented in the form of something that is your weakness. Something that you, like, things that you will not use your regular common sense in entertaining or obtaining, you know, that those are the things that it feels like the devil attacks. And that's what makes him so slick, because he knows what it is that can weaken you or make you think irrationally.
Yeah. I love what you said though. That whole representation, the devil, like, I don't believe that he, you know, like you said, with the horns walking around with that long tail. No, but the devil can be anything that we allow to get to us and beat us. Those things that distract us from our purpose in life can be the devil.
Well, I mean, cause I don't think it would be if you know what I'm saying, if he wasn't, he wouldn't, I don't think we could call him that. He wouldn't even be worthy of all the, you know, the fear and all of the attention that he gets if he wasn't good at what he does. You know what I mean? He does what he does, you know. But the thing about it is, I just feel that the way that it's been presented to us is that we're taught to look for, when we say we got to watch these things to bring on evil or that the devil is enticing us on, I just think that we got to watch for not the things that look like it comes from the devil or feel like it comes from the devil or sound like it comes from the devil. No, it can't, you know what I'm saying? It has to be examined at face value. And, you know what I'm saying, you got to look at, you know what I'm saying, outweigh things in a mental way, you know. So it's just a trip how how slick that he's so slick that I just think people don't even understand when they are being attacked by a right. force like that.
Yeah. I'm enjoying this so much. But yeah, so that's what my books have been about, just using, you know, the stories about relationships. So pretty much my books are targeting women to just be able to uplift them and to give them a message of hope, not to give up, because there are a lot of broken women out there, and that's not to exclude the men, because I also work with men. I used to be a program manager of a fatherhood program.
That was actually going to be one of my questions. Information or do you have information or are there books or advice for men that are in these situations as well? Because as funny as it may sound to some people, or you know, ill masculine as it may sound, there are men who are victims. Some type of domestic violence. And it doesn't have to be physical, like you said. It could be mental, emotional, and financial. And that's what caught my ear, the financial portion of it.
And it's just as much physical abuse towards men as it is with women. They just don't talk about it. Because most of the time, men are embarrassed to tell anyone that the woman is hitting on them. But, you know, when I was working with fathers, and these were men coming out of jail and out of prison, and I would hear their stories when I do my assessment on domestic violence. And the stories that, you know, you're asking, did you call the police? And he's like, no, why would I call the police? Because I would be the one who ends up going to jail.
Yes.
It was a fear to get the police involved because the police would turn on him just because he's a man. He would get kicked out of the home. And it didn't matter if he did not put his hands on her or he just wanted to defend himself from her. And so, you know, they come to a place where it's like, I don't have anybody. And so people would be surprised. My very first clients when I began to coach were men. More men were coming to me for emotional support because they felt like they had no one to talk to than women were. And they were broken hearing their stories about relationships. And they would feel so hopeless because they felt like, you know, I'm changing, but she's not changing. She's not doing anything to make our relationship better. All she wants to do is scream and yell at me. And it was so helpful for me because I was able to see the perspective from a man. Finally. So many times, and I'm a woman, but a lot of times we think we're right and we know it all.
Right.
But when you take the time to listen.
A lot of times. Never mind. I won't go there. A lot of times,
and you're right. But when you actually take the time to listen to a man and what his needs are, because men have needs just as much as a woman has needs. A man wants to be told that I love you. They have emotional needs, and we as women have to stop pretending or acting like men just have to be so strong that they can take anything. Or I can hit a man and he's not supposed to hit me back. That's been a mentality for years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you should be treating the man the same way that you want that man to treat you, with respect.
Right.
Yeah.
With loyalty. Being there.
Right.
And so, you know, my third book is actually, I'm already in the planning stages of that, working on the title, but that one is actually going to be more focused on the men. The main character is going to be a woman, I'll just throw the title out there. It's going to be called Danny in Distress off of Damsel in Distress. And if you think about what a damsel or who a damsel in distress is, it's a woman who is always looking for a hero, who is always... Something's always wrong, and that man has to go play Superman or Batman to go save her. But it's not always a good situation for the man. So that's what my point.
Oh, now that sounds like it's going to be interesting as well.
Yeah, it does. It sounds very, very intriguing.
Yep. So y'all just be on the lookout. There is more to come because there's more inside of me. And hopefully, like I said, the messages from this story, you know, it may be fictional stories, but it definitely has a true meaning and true message at the end of all of them.
And so now, personally, like now, so as a coach, what are the methods that you use to like keep up on the trending like situations that's going on? Because I mean, when you're in this situation and you know what's going on, you know you can kind of gauge the temperature out there. But as a person who stepped away and has consciously groomed yourself into being a person that stays away from that type of any type of abuse. What is it that you do to like keep yourself in the know of like what's trending or what's going like what is happening nowadays in these type of relationships? Is it the same? Like it doesn't change, or vary? Does it does it what happens in that situation?
Well, I love learning. I actually have 3 master's degrees, and I'm currently working on a doctorate degree in Christian counseling. So I love learning. More research always coming out, more data, and that's how I know that the statistics for men being physically abused are just as high as women being physically abused.
Okay.
Right now, in a
both-sides
topic, what was that?
You said just as high.
Just as high. It's just as high.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty equal. Like right now, it's one in every 3 women are physically or, you know, involved in domestic violence. I think with men, it might be 1 in 4 or 1 in 5.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
But yeah, it's just as high. But when you hear Domestic Violence Awareness Month, who do you think about? You think about the woman. We forget it. We forget, even with domestic violence, that sometimes it's children hitting on the parents. We leave that out when it comes to Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Right. That's something that's not talked about.
We hit on the parents, yes. And I was a probation officer for 7 years, and I was in it was called CHIN. CHIN's probation, that's a child in need of services or a child in need of supervision. And my department that I was in was just working with kids who were arrested for hitting their parents, domestic abuse. And so they had no accountability. And most of the times it's kids who come from nice, wealthy homes. Parents have money. And so we have to think about what are we teaching our kids? And so we have to really start teaching them young. And so you think about a child, you're bold enough to hit your parents. They're definitely bold enough to hit their girlfriend or their boyfriend or their husband or their wife. And so that's why it's important that we work with the young children. The only way we're going to stop domestic violence is if we get them while they're young. So I started doing self-esteem workshops called Elevate Her. The name of my business is Elevate Health and Wellness. And so I started out a couple of years ago, started doing these Elevate Her group sessions. I've worked with adult women, and I've also worked with children and teenagers because it's important that learn to love themselves, know their worth, know how deserving they are so that they won't allow anyone to hit them as young as 10 years old, as young as 15 years old, because when you think about teenagers being involved in domestic violence relationships, it's happening in the school. My daughter, she's 18 now, but she's already experienced one abusive relationship already at the age of 16 years old. It's on the rise. But what do we do to stop it? What do we do? So my job is to teach people through coaching, through writing, through my speaking engagement, through facilitating workshops, whatever I can do to help.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do it because it's my purpose to be able to turn my pain into purpose, to use it as my secret
happen.
And, you know, that's amazing because we need more speakers and people like yourself to come together and, you know, and have these kind of conversations more often, you know, because, you know, a lot of times, a lot of domestic violence is not really talked about in the black community. We,
right.
That's just something we were,
church.
That was just something, yeah, that was just something we were taught not to speak of outside of the home.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I was raised as whatever go on in the house, stay in the house. You know, we weren't supposed to talk about what was going on
cultural,
in the home.
Yeah, there's a cultural element to it that keeps it going on. I agree with
right.
you.
It's so
right.
true. And even so you think about, why is divorce on the rise today? Because people aren't putting up with the things that our grandparents put up with. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, for almost 50 years, both of them passed away within 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And outside, it's so beautiful to see a couple stay together. They had 6 kids. But growing up in a house, that was not a healthy relationship.
Right.
So it's like, do you want to be able to post on Facebook, I've been married for 30 years, and everyone's saying happy anniversary? Or do you really want to be at peace and happy with your life and not faking it?
Right.
That's where I am. That's where I am. Like Yaya said,
mm-hmm.
when I people, you know, my age, and they're celebrating their, you know, I was married for 13 years, and, you know, it wasn't a physical abusive relationship, but it was emotional abuse because of infidelity, repeat infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I stayed in that marriage? I could have, but I didn't want to. Because I knew I deserved
better.
I didn't deserve that. And I gave chance after chance, and that's why I can say we were separated probably 3 times before the final divorce. But those are the things that lead to divorce. And, yeah, back in the day, wives stuck with their husbands for it. Husbands stuck with their wives for it. So if
right.
you really talk about healing, there's a healed person really stay in an abusive relationship just to say that they stay married? I say no.
And, you know, and people today, they are afraid to say anything because I have to say social media plays a big part in that today because you're
mm-hmm.
trying to live up to an image that you've already set the standard for because you posted and shared all of the good times. So you can't dare let anyone know what's going on. So you keep that to yourself and
mm-hmm.
people on Facebook or your so-called friends don't even know what's going on behind closed doors. Yeah, you've been married 20 years and they see all your pictures and your vacation pictures, but they don't know what you're going through behind closed doors.
Nah, you went deep there. You went deep there, God of love. You hit something on that one. You hit something. You hit that one out the park right there. That's a whole nother man.
Right.
You hit that because people too worried about. You know, it continues because people too worried about, you know, what people gonna say afterwards. I mean, they're gonna talk about you regardless. They're gonna anything you do, whether you stay, if you stay, you're stupid. If you leave, it was all good just a week ago. You know, you gotta hear all that
right.
shit. So you know, people
right.
don't have that. You know, that people have. Yeah, you opened up a whole nother cut right there. You cut deep with that one too.
Yeah, because people don't want, so they keep a secret, you know, and that happens because, you know, I know someone that happened to, you know, when she finally came out that she was in a domestic violence situation, it was a shocker because
it was really
hidden. And then she would point out certain things that she used to say on Facebook that we should have picked up on, but we never picked up on it. And it would be like sometimes if she had posted pictures and then she'll repost them and say, do you remember when I posted this? Well, on this day, this happened, blah, 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 blah. And so when you're looking at the pictures, you're like, oh, my gosh, I remember when she posted that picture and I said, oh, you look so good. Have a good time. Y'all look great, blah, 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 blah. But the whole time behind the glasses, she's got a black eye and she's unhappy. And
mm-hmm.
he's abusive. So it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't know what's going on in someone's life, and they feel afraid to say anything because they've portrayed this image already. And so, you know, they stand in social media, they don't want to, you know, like you said, they don't want to look
right.
like a fool or whatever, or what have you. So it's, I think that if we could just get out of, if we just could sit down for a minute, mm-hmm. you know, just sit down for a minute. Like, everything is moving, you know. And I thought that's what the pandemic was for. I was like, you know, this ain't nothing but upstairs telling us we need to sit down and pause.
You know what? Man, come on now. And, like, even if you didn't think that way, you should at least thought, you know, this is a good time to sit my ass down somewhere and just, you know,
right.
just let, you know what I'm saying, just breathe. Just take
get
it all
together.
Take all in. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I hope everyone that's listening, or anyone that's listening that's going through a domestic violence situation, whether it's with your spouse or your friends, because domestic violence occurs in all relationships, friendships, relationships, sisterhoods, brotherhoods. Domestic violence is domestic violence. And if you're experiencing that, tell someone. Let someone help you and get out of that situation, because it's not healthy and it is toxic.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're not alone, and you may feel like you are alone, but you are not. You are not alone. There's people out here who will help you push through and get over all of it and help you. So, you know, if you're listening and you're going through something like that, try and get some help and just know that you are worthy and you deserve better.
Yeah.
Now,
domestic violence.
Did we have a question on the line?
No, sir, we did not. I checked, but no one's there.
Oh, okay. I thought their hand was up,
but no one's answering. I guess they shy. Maybe they're So
well,
where
we
can we find
get,
you? Where can we find your books?
Read
Are
my
your
mind.
Books available on Amazon?
Yes, my Because He Loves Me book and Man of Deception are both on Amazon right now. So if you want to contact me on Facebook, you can find me Dana Barnett Watson or Coach Dana W.
So in the writing process of these two books, it was like a healing process for yourself.
Very therapeutic.
Right?
Yes.
Very therapeutic. And so do you think that your ex has read these books?
No, he admitted that he tell you himself. He does not read books. So even if my second book was about him, he would not have read it or will not read it. My ex-husband has not read the books. He does have a copy of it. And then the ex from the first book, he passed away. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if his parents may have read it, because we had a really close relationship. Prior to his death, up until my daughter was probably like 5 years old, I think I was married and I was still having conversations with my ex-fiance's parents, because they knew that he was abusive towards me. And let me just say this part, how ex-mamas are, and we got to stop. If you know your son is abusive, please stop picking up for him. With my ex-fiance, I would call her before I called my own mom to cry to her about what her son did to me, and she'll say, it'll be okay. I'm here. We can talk. She'll fuss him out. But the minute I decided to leave him for good, the very last time I had to run from him, and he chased me down the steps. I lived in an apartment, and he ran down the steps. And as I'm jumping in the car, no shoes on, my daughter on my hip, I drove off, and here he comes running in front of the car, and I hit him with my car. And he had scratches on his face because we fought. That was my first time fighting back this last time. And she was mad at me and threatened to call the police on me. And I'm like, man,
you
know what I have to do with your son. And you're going to call the police on me because I finally took a stand for myself?
Right.
So, yeah. Wow. It ended like that. I was very disappointed. And that's why I'm like, you know, we got some mama boys out there, but you gotta, if you don't want a son raising him up to be abusive towards women. She was a victim of domestic violence too, so she knew how it felt. Yet she took off for her son, and so we got to stop. That's how domestic violence is going to end. We got to hold people accountable.
Right. Right. Wow. So, you know, so she was abused, so he grew up watching that, and he probably thought that was the correct way.
He didn't think it was the correct way, because I remember beating him.
Well,
that
was
the first thing he told me.
I watched some abuse early in my childhood, and I knew at that time, I'm talking about 6, 7, I knew at that time that shit wasn't right. Whether the questions came or not, you know, why are we still here or whatever the case may be, whether they came or not, I still knew at that young of an age that I did not like seeing my mother or when my older sister babysitted us. I did not like seeing either one of them get their ass beat by no dude. You know what I'm saying? I remember all the times thinking, like, nigga, if I was old enough, I'd knock your ass out. You know, I remember having those thoughts, you know what I'm saying, if I was big enough, if I was old enough, you know. And so I can't really say, like, I used to hear people say that, you know what I'm saying, if little boys grow up seeing that, they're going to think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you really did, like, some type of survey of little boys that grew up experiencing or watching domestic violence, I think they'll be just the opposite, because I hated that shit, and I hate that shit now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. He told me about his dad when we were dating in the very beginning, how his dad used to beat on his mom, and it hurt him. So you would think that they would do the opposite because of what they witnessed as a child, but sometimes it's like they can't help it. It's like, matter of fact, I have a chapter in the book called The Monster Within, and we talked about demons earlier. That's just a demon that some people have to fight, those generational curses.
Generational. I was just about to say generational curses.
Oh, wow. That's something I didn't even think about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's up to us women too to break some of that cycle too, because like you said, we have to hold them accountable, even our sons. You know, we don't want to not hold them accountable, because they're going to grow up and they're going to be young men and older men, and God forbid they can't control themselves. You know, they have to learn how to control themselves. And it starts in the home. Everything starts in the home. Everything starts in the home. The home is the foundation.
Yes.
And we have to let them, we have to hold them accountable, definitely.
Right. I agree. Mm-hmm. I definitely agree.
Well, this has been a great conversation. Your books sound like they are very, very good.
Yeah, like the real shit though. Like the realness though. Like, because I want to see this lady. I want to hear about the lady who met the online dude. You know, I'm interested to know about that. Because, I mean, me and my wife, we actually met online. But we had like a 10-year friendship before we even had a relationship, before we ever had a kiss. We ended up like being friends for a long time. And we just, like real friends. Like, no, there's always been the physical attraction there, of course. But we took out the time. And I can't even say that we did it on purpose. It's just the way things turned out. We had like a 10-year like relationship before we even had a kiss. So, and I think that ended up doing a lot for us or whatever, because it's both of our second marriage. And like, when you're in a 10-year friendship, like, All the cream and the crust comes out, you know what I mean? And so we got to know each other's, you know, bullshit and our, you know, the sweet parts about each other before we still made that commitment. Now, I don't know what's wrong with her, you know, for making it after finding out my shit. But I don't know. I mean, I always tell her she did something. She messed up somewhere down the line to get my ass, but she got me. I don't know what she did in another life to get me. Yeah, so that just let me know that she just as crazy or crazier than I am, if you can look beyond my faults and still make a conscious decision. You know,
mm-hmm. I saw the good before I saw the bad.
Oh.
That's what learned to be.
Wait a minute. It's not a lot of bad though, baby. It's
really?
The good,
yeah,
like.
Really?
It's not like you're making people think like I got a whole lot of bad. Like I just got like a little bad.
You just got to say.
I got like.
You just got to talk about how you did all this bad stuff before we met, how you was in jail and out. I saw the good, though, before the bad.
But I know, but it's a lot of bad. You're making the people think it's a lot of bad. It's just a little bit of bad.
Say, well, you bipolar.
I know that. I'm not disputing that. What
you're
I'm saying, I know that.
Leave
those people alone. See, that's a leave those people alone. Those people do not bother you. Those people have gotten me through a lot of shit in life. Leave the people inside my head alone. They don't bother nobody. Now, that I'm not going to stand for. You're not going to talk. You say whatever you want about me, but you're not going to talk about the people in my head. That's what you're not going to do. Okay. Anyway, y'all, back to the show before I was really interrupted.
It's almost that time.
Yeah, feels people along my head. They ain't done nothing. They don't do nothing to nobody. They mind their business.
No, they do stuff to me all the time.
I don't see it.
You're not around.
Yep.
Well,
you know, y'all,
I'm the crazy one.
Y'all showing y'all behind tonight. The coach is on the line. She gonna have a study on y'all.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. We know. No. Listen. Listen. As you can see, ours is not one book. Ours is like a whole series, like the encyclopedia type series. You know what I'm saying? Like we're a whole encyclopedia set, like the old school that they used to come to your house selling. Like if you're going to do that, you got a lot of writing to do. Like, I don't even think you'll be sane by the time you finish that series. Like, you'll
they will see her like the Jehovah's Witnesses.
They will. No, she had to check herself in trying to write about us.
What I mean is when she go to sell that book.
Okay, let's ask her this. What do you have for wives who keep their husbands in cages? What do you have for that?
Oh
my gosh.
Okay. I
told you all them people.
Yeah, I was something like
question.
That. We would have to discuss the trauma from probably into
yeah, yeah, yeah. I need a big
around.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to be
okay,
different
yeah.
of
okay,
all the trauma that I
was. The wife or the trauma on the husband? Because the husband had to do something for the wife, to put him into the cage.
Not necessarily. And you see how I didn't name her? But you see, did y'all notice how I didn't even name her? I just said, what do you do? And she told on herself. I didn't even admit to the public that I'm being kept in a cage. All I said was, what do you do? God is love. Back me up here.
Uh-uh. Mm-mm.
Oh.
Nope. You know you're not getting no assistance over here.
Oh, where's Henry?
Nope. I don't know nothing about no cage. I never heard anything about a cage. This is
really?
New to me. Oh, this is new to me.
Dana, I am being kept in a cage. My fingers are, like, touched. You know how the witch used to, like, feel Hansel and Gretel's fingers to see if they were getting fat or skinny?
Put the weed down.
There's no marijuana in my possession right now. This is real life. God is love. You're going to have to back me up on this one. People are going to think I'm crazy.
I can't even tell you to blink if you need help right now.
Right. Exactly.
I believe my blood off over here, really.
Oh, wow. I should have known. All this estrogen on this damn network right now. I should have known not to even.
Not to even try it. Especially
God
when you don't have no backup.
I thought we would have got his love.
You know,
she's
we
so
always.
About
I'm still mad about
the lobster. The lobster.
That's right. That's right, because I didn't get a piece. You know, I need to ask the coach, what do you do for people who eats good food and don't offer none to their children.
There's no book for that. There's no book for that, God is love. There's no book for that. I'm sorry. There's not even a study of that yet for there to be books about it yet.
Make sure I will go through the answer for that one.
That's right. I don't need no answer, but I know one thing. I need Ms. Dana to tell everyone where we can find her book and give us her social media info so we could contact her and get these good books.
Yes, definitely.
You can find Because He Loves Me by Dana Watson and Man of Deception by Dana Watson on Amazon. You can also find me on Facebook on Dana at Coach Dana W. I'm also on Instagram at Coach Dana W. Sorry. I also have a TV talk show. I am the co-host of Curls, Curves, Frowns. If you download the Exposure Network, it's on the Mogul channel. You can catch me on Tuesdays. Matter of fact, we just had our second episode released on today.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. We're definitely going to look into that. We are definitely going to look into that.
We will definitely look into that, and we would like to thank you for coming on our show. Make sure you drop your information, your book links, in my inbox so I can promote for you, okay? Do that, and thank you guys for joining us tonight on the Office Lounge. Tune in every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m., and is presented by Drip to Mike. And everyone have a blessed night. Peace.
And join us tomorrow for Adam and Eve. Same time, same bat channel. Y'all don't want to miss that one.
Same time, same place, Adam and Eve. And
yes, y'all not want to miss that one. Good night, everybody.
Good night.